up in the red room.
Before the stars can be paid, there gotta be a dope ass story on the page. Let the beast about the cage, that light about the dark. Can you build the inferno from an itty bitty spark? Coffee shop hustlers rise with the cream. A million other writers, same Hollywood dream. Your pen and paper, all like bullets in the gun. Write what you feel, say what you want in the red room. We say what we say, we do what we feel. We gotta keep it real
in the red room.
All about the crap of screenwriting. I fill my bottle up with lightning up in the red room.
So look, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get in.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
What's up?
I was trying to be like Martin. I can't do it. I'm all hoarse today. Can't do it. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest. And you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room. Where we keep it real. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what? You know how to say it with us, Prem Star. Come on now.
2016.
Yeah. What are you looking at?
I'm just saying, I'm looking at you.
I am. You are guiding us.
Exactly.
So.
Y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. We silly as hell. On the show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture, but our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and shit like that. You hear her voice, mm-hmm. Little Miss Interruption. Mm. Lisa Bella Kaja, a.k.a. the Street Nerders.
Hey.
What?
My show is back.
What you on now?
Vikings.
Oh.
My husband Ragnar.
All my menses.
My girlfriend Lagertha. I love her. So it's back. I haven't had a chance to catch up yet.
Okay.
So I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited. So you know, you have your shows and you can't wait for them to come back.
Yes.
And, like, I've been waiting for Ragnar to come back.
I was so excited for The Walking Dead and now it's all went downhill. Anyway.
Oh no.
I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, well.
I no longer say it's my favorite show that I want to write. Anyway.
Clutch the pearls.
They needed to end. I don't know. Anyway. Can I just ask you this?
Sure. Should they have killed Glenn? They didn't have to follow the comic book.
They didn't have to.
Be honest. No one's listening.
They needed to kill Glenn for the sake of tension of the show, if that makes any sense.
Because they faked us out. Last time.
They did.
And they gave it to her, and I thought that was like, that was
it. Yeah, I thought that was it, but I knew it wasn't it because they never got to Negan.
Yeah, and I knew he was going to, but do you think...
I read all the comic books.
Because a lot of fans are like, they don't really want to watch it now because Glenn's not there. Because, you know, he was like a crowd favorite, but...
Yeah. And if Daryl wasn't there, wouldn't nobody be watching.
Child, look. So. Look, they better not touch a hair on Daryl's head. I don't care that I'm not even watching the show anymore. You mess with Daryl.
Exactly.
I'm flipping tables on your set.
And Daryl ain't even the fucking comic book.
Okay, you know what?
Anyway, y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. So, you hear Lisa Bella Kaja, Street Nerdist, a.k.a. Sophista Ratchet.
Yes.
A.k.a. What else?
Your favorite Afro-Indigenous auntie. So, I'm excited today because last year... We had Prem Star Santana with us with the Moonface Film Festival. Prem Star!
They don't know who her. They don't know who she is.
Yes, they do.
They better ask somebody.
Yeah, but go back and what episode was that? It was 2015.
It was a while ago. I don't remember.
I want to say
2015?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was that long ago?
Yeah, it was a year.
It was the day after the festival, I think.
Oh, so it's been over a year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought it was this year, though.
No. And they had, this is their second annual. Moonface Film Festival.
Okay, cool.
And I had to have her come back because I love the first festival. I gushed about it. I wrote about it in Bitch Flicks because it was one of those festivals where you can tell that people love what they were doing and they were there to support artists and they had some good food.
Y'all had some food?
They had some food. Look. They had the open bar. Because last year, so I think they had like beer and stuff, but this time they had like one. Child.
Oh, y'all got sponsors.
Look, I sat in the back. Yeah. The mistake was the bar was behind me in the back.
You missed all the movies, didn't you?
And I was like, what? And then they had the food truck again, the Korean. Oh, my God. I had, like, the steak quesadilla with kimchi. It was so good. This is before the movies even started. Like, I was eating and drinking. I was like, I was in a happy place already. Like, snacks and food and good liquor. And I was already in a good mood. And I was excited because it's the second annual film festival.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. Yeah, because
you can speak.
No.
You can't shame
nobody. I'm so excited.
Yes. And so, Primstar, let's have you introduce yourself, and we'll have Roxanne introduce yourself, too, because I really want to get into a couple questions I had for you, and we'll open it up and stuff. Sure. But reintroduce yourself to our audience. Tell us about yourself.
Tell
them
who you is, girl.
Okay. My name is Primstar Santana, and I am the founder
Is that the best name? Is that like a superhero name? Yeah. Like in a sci-fi?
It is. It's my parents were hippies.
Okay.
That's my disclaimer anyway. But it's true. They take all the credit for that one. Yes, I'm a hippie. No, I am. I am the founder of the Moonphase Feminist Film Festival and the director. And the creative director.
Mm-hmm. So, but you're more than that. You're also
I'm an actor.
Writer, producer.
Yeah. First and foremost, I'm an actor and a filmmaker, and that's where the festival stemmed from.
Tell the people what Moonphase is who don't know.
Moonphase is a groundbreaking independent film festival that puts female-driven film to the forefront. Mm-hmm. We showcase feminist filmmakers from all around the world. And
can men submit?
Yes, all gender.
As long as it's a female-driven.
Exactly. Okay. All gender identities are welcome to submit, filmmakers of all gender identities. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, one of the main points we like to make about our festival, that we can all embrace this word feminism and feminist.
Right.
So, as long as there's a female lead, then we want to see your movies.
Right. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, Roxanne.
Hey.
Roxanne.
I want to be your man.
She was in there rocking.
Okay. Come on, Roxanne.
Hi, I'm Roxanne Morrison, and I am the co-director and partner in crime to lovely Primstar Santana.
Your evil twin.
Yes, we are kind of twins.
Yeah.
Sister twins.
Yes, we are.
I was lucky enough, blessed to have Primstar approach me for the second year, and I hopped on. I wasn't a part of it for the first year, but I helped her produce it this year, and we just had a freaking rad
time. What was it about Roxana? What's your background there?
Oh, well, so we met a few years ago in acting class. So we were both actors, and we had an incredible chemistry right off the bat and just became very fast friends and just loved each other and supported each other. And then we went our separate ways. I finished school. She did other projects. And then we just had breakfast one morning, and I was like, what are you doing with Moonphase? Like, second year coming up. And she's like, I want you to be a part of this. And at first it was more, you know, casual, like whatever you need, I'll be hands.
Right.
And then as the months progressed, I became a bigger part and a bigger part until we were like hanging out every day.
Yeah, we were attached
talking
to the
every
hip,
day
the hip,
about like, it.
Yeah.
We were attached at the hip for sure. So
nice.
It turned out to be my little baby as well.
That's good.
So, yeah.
What I loved about it, and I saw the second time too, is like really the different
you
types.
Went last year too.
Yes, of course. I wasn't going to miss out. Are you kidding me? No. You know, and I remember saying like, we got to have this again. And I was just so happy that it did happen again. Because a lot of times, like you said, it's an indie film festival. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you're just starting out, you know, brand new, you don't have a lot of monetary support. A lot of people don't know who you are. You worry about people actually showing up, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was such a success last year. Like, I just felt like this really, really positive energy and a sense of like social change in terms of women in films. And like, I was like, crossing my, oh, I hope they have it again. So of course, when they said, we're having a second annual, I had to be there. Like I drove, like I told my kids at my job, I said, look, I'm out of here at 3:00. I got to hit that LA traffic. If anybody's going to get in trouble or fall off the snow, because it snowed up there this week. So if anybody breaks their arm, you got to do that shit before 3:00. Because at 3:00, I'm getting in my car. I hope the camp is alive when I get back. And I'm out. So at 3:00, I left, hit traffic, got my good Korean barbecue. And so my mind, because one of the things when you, and we'll talk about this, one of the things I was thinking about, like, how different would it be this year? Because, you know, you have the first one.
Sure.
And there's a certain tone that's set, and there's a certain expectation. And then for the second year, I kind of went in thinking, you know what? I'm going to go in how I was the first time, just open. I'm not going to have any expectations that things are going to be better or not good or whatever. It was just like, I'm just coming here to see some films and to be in a community of filmmakers who are here to support each other.
Sure.
And one of the things I do notice that's different from last year, because I remember last year, I loved a lot of the narrative films. This year, it was the fractured narratives and a lot of the experimental films that really jumped out. Okay. And intuitively, for me, I feel like that, with all the crazy stuff that's going on politically and socially in America, I felt like why I was connecting to those pieces is because I think we need a new narrative, and things are already being shaken up. Mm-hmm. And so we need artists to come and kind of explore things in not the same old linear fashion that we've done, but kind to bring new things together. No, I'm just saying.
I'm just like in awe of what you're saying.
No, I'm saying
right
like
now,
that's just for me watching.
You nailed
it. And I felt like those pieces that really spoke out to me, even though the other one, the regular narrative linear stories were good, it was those fractured and weird, like the music videos, the experimental films. Those are things that spoke most to me at the festival, because I felt like these were women and people who were like, look, we need to change some things because shit is kind of fucked up right now.
Hell yes.
And the only people who are always going to save us historically have always been artists. So if you can get that out there to the masses, I felt like for Moonphase second annual film festival, I think these new narratives, I just think they're just so vital right now. And I hope that those people who made those films realize the impact that they have from people watching those. Like, I had a whole trial look. I got my little list. As I was sitting there watching, I'm like, checking, okay, I like that one. Put a little star by that one. I mean, look at, I had a whole list of them. But I want to talk to you, Primstar, and both you, Roxanne, because the one question I had, look, I got my little notes. This is my nerdy Lisa.
I love
you. It's like... What? Okay.
You should have had her do a panel.
Okay, no, no. I'm like, oh my God. No,
well, that's
well, the next question I have for both of you, it's like, well, Roxanne, you weren't there for the first one, but you probably have some input in terms of happening, what's happened this year. So for Primstar, what is different this year? Like, what were some of the goals, and what was a little bit different from last year's festival compared to this year's festival? And what did you learn about yourself this year in creating this festival?
There was a lot of things that were different, different aspects. I think one of the main differences was, one, the response was more inclusive than last year. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like the word is getting out to all gender identities that we can embrace this word.
Right.
Feminism as a whole.
Right.
And so that felt good. At first, I would approach people with, I mean, that was actually one of the challenges I faced, was the word feminist. People were like, you know, a little like, but I'm a man. I can't be a part of it. Or I'm not an angry, you know, blah, 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 whatever.
Whatever stereotype. Yeah, things that
the stereotype.
Right.
And I was like, what? Huh?
I'm not a bitter, angry woman who's waving my bra around and burning
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It's kind of mind-blowing that still is
still
the idea
a thing.
Of what it is.
Yeah. Exactly. So I felt like I just felt that easing out a little bit more and people embracing it more so. And especially the crowd this year. And I could see that. It was really... Last year was diverse as well.
Were you at the same place?
No, they're at Conduit LA this year.
Yeah, different location this year. That's another thing that was different, which was great. I love the Conduit. It was amazing. People were in awe of that space.
Oh, I didn't even know it existed.
Where is it?
New.
It's right off of Baker Street, downtown LA. Oh,
Chinatown.
Yeah, Chinatown. Like, I drove through there all the time, and I was like, and my GPS like, wait, what's over here?
Oh, I think I've been there.
And I'm like, what? Yeah. What is this place over here?
Yeah. Okay. Good parking, too.
Yeah, parking. Perfect. Yeah.
It's right across the street.
Yeah. I was like, literally, I'm just like, boop. I got there early enough where I was like, bam, I got there at 5. You know me, I'm a nerd. I get there at 5:30. I was like, park right in front. Like, what?
You're like, what are those?
Yes.
That was amazing, actually. Yes, I was really relieved about that. But as far as other differences goes, I feel like I've personally, because this year, Roxanne and I, we did everything. Minus we had a publicity manager who came on board, Marina Wise, who is a genius.
Shout out to Marina.
She saved our ass. And she was so professional and really helped us be on the level, that level of professionalism as far as getting the word out about Moonphase. But Roxanne and I did everything. I mean, everything. And so we learned so much. We learned what not to do, what to prioritize and what not to prioritize. So for me, I felt like an ownership of this festival that I didn't last year that is so empowering as a woman, as a feminist, and as a friend and a sister to Roxanne. That was just
it's
so...
It's love in here, isn't it?
No, it's like...
it's all love.
Oh, no. It's just so beautiful of an experience for me. And last year was too, but this year I just feel like I grew up. And I learned to reach out to people. And
we,
we
were just talking about you got to ask motherfuckers for
shit. You have to ask motherfuckers for shit.
You got to ask motherfuckers for shit.
Because you know what? People want to say yes. And there is, yeah, you're going to get no's. Mm-hmm. And as actors, we know how that sounds and feels. So we're okay with that.
Yeah.
But when you ask people really, especially for something like Moon Phase that has a mission like ours, it really speaks to people. And people are just like, yeah, we want to help.
Mm-hmm.
People
that
came
was the
out
biggest,
of the woodwork.
Yeah, the biggest pleasant surprise to me, this being my first year, was how much people wanted to be involved.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how much they actually cared, because I would approach people kind of, you know, humbly and be mm-hmm. like, well, I'm doing this thing. Yeah. Oh, and they're like, what? Yes. Like, whatever you want, I will give you my time and my energy and money and
you're
whatever.
You're like, shit, I should have asked them 6 months ago.
Okay, exactly. It's like, then you become a little bit more bold.
Okay.
But yeah, that was a pleasant
surprise. Remember I asked you for $5,000?
Yes.
Can we do 10?
You're like, okay, now, calm down.
I meant to say 10 the whole time. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
good.
That.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a quick question. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Just for the sake of an argument, mm-hmm. what separates your festival from, what is it, La Femme? What's the other one?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about. There's another one. Forgive me. There's another one that's very women strong. I forget what
it's
called.
I think there's
several.
There's,
in particular.
Here in LA, you're talking about. I think it's La Femme, and I think there's the women. It's called like the Women's Internet or. Film festival.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Forgive me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It ain't yours.
But I should.
I'm just trying, just so that people understand.
Yeah.
Because a lot of dudes in particular are like, well, there's already one. Why do we need another? You know, the bullshit.
Right. Totally.
So let's just so we're clear.
But no, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that separates our film festival from the rest is that it's solely female driven films.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, I haven't seen that as one of the criteria, that it has to be a female mm-hmm. lead. But also that ours is a big, giant, amazing one-night celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that might change. We might have to do more days next mm-hmm. year.
A weekend or something.
But it is mm-hmm. more, it's really not just a film festival. Mm-hmm. It's a celebration mm-hmm. of life and of her story. And of each other's different experiences.
Who is that bitch anyway? That's
what I want. Yes. I don't trust her. It's a real. I mean, you agree, Rox?
Yeah.
Like,
and
it's a celebration more than just. It's celebrating film, but it's mm-hmm. celebrating our voices.
Right. Right.
And that's really.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose all film festivals are celebrating story. They are celebrating mm-hmm. voices and stories, but I don't know. Ours is just special.
No, that's good. I'm just curious.
It's also, I think, grassroots mm-hmm. in its just the when you strip it all away, the idea of supporting mm-hmm. filmmakers, no matter who you are mm-hmm. around the world. I think it's just it doesn't have to do with the money or the industry or, you know, the glitz and the glam of it. It's mm-hmm. supporting people. And I think that in essence is really just grassroots. And that's mm-hmm. what I love about Moon Phase.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I think that's what we want to keep forever.
And that's what you feel, because when you have to come next year.
Yeah.
Like when you're not as big. I know. You're
always coming next year.
I know. But
girl, y'all don't know.
I was telling about Westworld when we did the Westworld thing. You're supposed to can. You just
if you're
busy.
Turning down Westworld invitations.
I was in the
I get it.
Co-exec producer on a TV show. I was too busy.
Yeah.
No. But, well, next year.
Yeah, but the thing that next year when you come, it's like mm-hmm. when you first get there, like people like literally when you come and check in, like people are happy to see. Like I've been to film festivals where people are like, what's your name?
Right.
Yeah.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. You know. Thank you.
Me too.
That's over there. Here we go.
Right.
Like, I walked in and they was happy. They see
like
me.
People.
And they were like, no. They were like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, great. I said, well, I'm here for this. I'm with the press, but you know, I have my little ticket because I bought my ticket.
You
this
were
year
amazing,
too. And I
Lisa.
Said, I wanted this too. And she's like, your little stamp it, great. And the food truck was there. I was like, let me get some food. Like people were like friendly. Like I walked in. Mm-hmm. Like there were people I was talking to. I didn't even know. I was just like, hey, what's that over there? And oh, what are you looking at? Oh, what's that book you're looking at? And, you know, and you start. Talking and there's like a community feel, and it's like I said, you go in, you feel like it's like a festive party, mm-hmm. and then you realize, oh shit, it's a festival, film festival too. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're here to watch film, because the first part of it is just talking and intermingling, and people are like excited to see each other, and then it kind of just sets like this different tone. Like, wow, it's not here about to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not here to show off and be like, well, my shit is better than your person. Mm-hmm. It's more like we're gonna celebrate watching a bunch of cool shit.
and we get to watch it in a really cool place.
Sure.
That's right.
And we get to have like snacks and sit around and just have fun. And then as soon as the
the host were fucking hilarious.
Oh, yes.
Who was it?
What were their names again? It was the two
Alana Johnston. I always get her name wrong. I'm sorry, Alana. Alana Johnston and Holly Prazoff. They are some really funny, amazing women you have to meet.
They were so funny. Because once they got up there and got the ball, once we got in our seats and they started talking, like, it just elevated it to, like, look, we're here to have fun. We're here to support. Like, they really helped massage the audience. Like, hey, we're here to have some fun. Mm-hmm. And they were funny. I mean, I was falling out in the back, you know. And they had a short that was in the festival, too, that was really funny with the diaper. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, the diaper.
And it was like good. And like I said, there was like, you had music, you had DJ. It was like really, it's what a festival, like it makes the word festive and festival what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And like I said, like the only thing I'm mad at with you, young lady, is, because you know, my thing is, I need to see you, like, you know, I told you this last year, like Primstar has like a world-class face. Mm-hmm. And all the projects that she has, like, she looks like a different person in every single one. So this year, and the reason why I'm mad is because there was one, what was it called? I wrote it down. Was it Cosimo?
Cosima.
Yeah. Cosima. And so it was like a trailer for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there, I'm like, oh, she's going to be one in Irma. I was mad because it was really short and I wanted to see more. Like, it was like so hypnotic. Like, look, if you've never seen Primstar before, like, you're so hypnotic on screen. And you always do something that's like a sci-fi alternative. And I feel like I really need to see you in a feature-length film doing something with sci-fi, because those images, like literally when she came out and then you said the line, something about we're all made of stars, and then it kind of faded. I'm like, no, bring it back. I want more. Like, when are you going to do do I have to write some shit for her? Maybe I need to write some shit.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Because the short was called Irma. It was 2 minutes, and it's a woman trapped between two different dimensions in an infinite time loop. You know, I love infinite time loops.
We're just talking about Twilight Zone.
And she's able to break free for only a split second to remind us of something very important. And it was like, and she says that line, and then it fades. I was like, no, I want more.
Aww.
And I was like sad for a second, because I know last year you had the one piece that I really loved, and then the opening one with the lunar and all that. And it's like, when are you going to do like a longer piece? And if you put another amazing short at Moon Phase, I need at least 10 minutes from you. Not 2 minutes.
I promise.
That's actually a really good note for you to hear, because sometimes we get caught up in, oh, I can handle 2 minutes. I can produce it. I can blah, blah, blah. Instead of expanding yourself so that your agents and whatever else is like, oh, she can handle a guest star role.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So it's a good one for you.
No, because it was like, it's like, the images were so phenomenal. Even with the trailer for Cosima, it's just the sci-fi and just whoever your cinematographers or whoever you have doing that, like, even though you're doing it on a smaller, it just seems so big.
Can you send it to me?
Yay.
It looks so big. No, it looks like a big, and it's like, as you're sitting, even the people behind me.
Are you
like,
talking about Cosima?
Cosima, yeah.
Yeah. That, shout out to Ben Gilbert for the visual effects of that and the editing and the color.
Okay. How many jobs he got?
He's amazing. And Matthew Renoir for our cinematographer.
Oh, who was the other actress that was in it with?
Roxanne.
Was that you? Yeah. I was like, is that you?
Yeah,
God, so both of you. So anyway, so is that going to be like a feature? Yeah. Like,
well, it's going to be a short film.
A short film.
As of now, but we are debating whether or not to make it a mini series or something.
Okay.
So yeah, it's something Roxanne and I have been working on for a couple of years now. I've been simmering on this.
We both looked amazing in it. Because like the whole time I'm sitting there, it's like, oh, I've got to see that. Like I said, it just looks so big. And I, like I said, because I think in 2016, I'm in a space where I need us to be grander and bigger and thinking more out the box. It just felt like that trailer was just doing so much. And I was like, oh, more please.
We were in the back, like, hugging each other and jumping up and down when we saw it. Because seeing it on a screen and the sound. Yes.
And the audience.
The audience. Yes. It was really exciting.
It was very cool. Okay, I've got to see it again. You guys got to send me a thing so I can
We'll send you all of this.
But
both of you.
But jumping into it, like I said, a lot of the pieces, like I said, that stood out for me were amazing. First one I want to say is Catherine Canty's January Hymn.
Yes.
To me, okay.
This is how I would describe it. Because the description in the thing, it talks about reflection of grief and, you know, Claire returns home for the first anniversary of her father's death. So it's kind of like, it's a fractured narrative. Mm-hmm. But to me, it was like a tone poem. Mm-hmm. Like a tone poem on grief and how do we process. And like, this is because, you know, it might have been the liquor talking. It might have been the red wine.
I'm sure it was.
It might have been the quesadilla and the kimchi in the back. Mm-hmm. But when I was watching it, like literally, it really was like a tone poem on how, not only how we process grief, but how we process our own humanity. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's the person's father who's passed, and you've got like these, I mean, you've got these great, oh my God, when you hear Irish.
Oh, I know.
Oh, God, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. The language and just their names. Oh, God, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But what I, like I said, what I loved about it was, and like I said, it's called January Hymn. It was like a hymnal on processing grief and just, and it's something that I'm dealing with as I'm getting older, because a lot of my older relatives and my mom and other people are getting older, and I'm preparing myself mentally for that time when they do pass over. Mm-hmm. But watching that, it was kind of like how, it made me think about my own human existence. Okay. And that at one point we're not going to be here and how we deal with it. So it was kind of like these great, and the cinema photography. Oh my God.
The cinema photography.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm an extra.
That's
a new word. I'm making it up. The cinema photography. Like I was mad for, because
there ain't that much.
Because I know that they had the awards at the end, and I know, what was it? Was it Seberg?
Yeah.
Gene Seberg. Yeah. They won for best.
Yeah.
But in my mind,
I know this was
that was a tough decision.
That was a hard
because
one.
They were up for that as well.
Yeah, I was like, oh, between it, but the cinema photography was just so amazing, and it was just so. Shout out to Catherine, because Catherine hit me up on Twitter. Was like, how was the moon face?
She's so active and involved from across all the way from Ireland. Like she's a very special filmmaker.
Right,
she did win Best Original Screenplay. So that's exciting.
Congratulations.
Yay, Catherine.
Best Original Screenplay. Yeah, because it was like the international aspect is what I love about the film festival too. It's because you get to see him from different worlds. Like he had the first one we saw, was it In Their Eyes? The one that was in South Africa?
Mm-hmm.
That was really good too. And that was like an actual story, like linear narrative. And that was kind of tense. Like the, when they showed that first one, like the audience got real tense. Yeah. We sit in the back like, you're in danger, girl. Get out the car.
I know, movie's scary.
That's important though. You have to decide, you know, and I've done a lot of, you know, screenings or festivals, whatever too, or like things at the Writers Guild where we have to organize, you know, how we're going to do scenes. You have to take people on a ride. You have to decide. We start with drama. We start with comedy. Whatever it is to set the tone, but you got to end a different way.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's interesting.
Right, right. Yeah. And the ones that pop generally have that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, there's so much good stuff, but I want to talk to you about the film Queer Witch.
Mm-hmm. Queer Witch.
Yes.
That's funny. Because the way it's described, it's a 12-minute short, and it's like a documentary, you know, and it was really interesting because it says the tagline in the flyer, the little beautiful program we have here, it says a portrait of Kira, and is it Gael?
Uh-huh.
Gael, a two-headed monster. So when you see that little tagline, and you're thinking it's going to be this, and you see it, I was so happy that you included a film that deals with the idea of people who may be genderless, who may be transgender, who may be changing the way we think gender is. Because one of the lines I remember at the end of Queer Witch was, forgive me, Kira and Gael, if I mess it up, but I'm just paraphrasing. It was like, we're not out to destroy the world. We're just out to destroy your world.
Yes.
And I heard that bitch look. I was like,
me too.
Hello. I was like, because it's like one of the things that's coming out, like we're coming into a different age because, you know, the age of Aquarius and all that stuff. And people are really questioning what you are and who you are. And those powers that be that have put people in boxes for so long, they're in a rage right now because the way the world has been for them is changing. And it's crumbling.
And they're dying.
Exactly. And this is their last hurrah. Like, we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
They got 10 more years.
Look. They done put Trump.
Mm-hmm. Who?
And his confederacy. They put Trump and his confederacy of dunces in power.
Yes.
So that's the last grasp because these people are frightened. And I was trying to figure out, like, what is it? And I just thought when I was watching Queer Witch, I kept thinking, how free of a society would we be in? Like, when we were talking about moonlighting. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about moonlight. And we were talking about how, what if we can just let people be who they need to be without us putting labels on them?
Woo!
How free and how much better the world would be. So when you guys saw Queer Witch, when that came through the pipeline, What made you say, this is going in the festival? I don't care what you mofos are doing in other festivals, but this one is coming in.
That exactly, what you just said. It struck us and the team, the team of judges, too. It was like, yes, yes. It was so profound for me personally, for, and it just, it answered, it said what I want to say.
Yeah.
It said what I want to say. And so I felt that the world needed to see this movie.
Because that was from France, right? Yeah, it was from France.
And one, it was beautifully shot. Yes. It was elegant and it was real and just so beautiful. And the two main characters in the documentary, not characters, people,
right,
are just so honest.
Right.
I felt like I loved them.
Right.
And I do love them.
Right.
I felt such a connection to that film, and so did the rest of the
team.
Because
I felt like I wanted to, like, have dinner with these folks.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you get to come to the table finally. Look, we all come you come to the table, bring your fabulousness with you.
Yeah.
Like that scene when they were packing their things to go. I was like, come on, come to the table. Come hang out with us. We're going to hang out. The royal family's going to hang out with you. Yeah. Come hang out. You know, that kind of thing. And that was the feel.
Yeah, and like, what a beautiful glimpse into this small community of people who, you know, camp along this river and are nude and, you know, kiss, and you don't even see their identities when they kiss.
Right.
It's just two beings.
Right.
And that was what was, it lingered.
Right.
That was what was so beautiful about the film. It just kind of lingered along your mind. It wasn't in your face.
Right.
It wasn't like anything that was too harsh or overwhelming. It was like just a beautiful love story.
Right.
And I think that that's what we adored about it.
Mm-hmm. And what I love too is they had a little separate bag for their dog. Like, they're like, we're going to pack the things. We're going to pack the dog's things.
Oh,
and they
have
a little bag for the dog. I said, those are my people.
Yeah, I know.
You've got a little bag for the dog and you're packing the dog's things too. Mm-hmm. Those are my people.
Okay.
You know?
I also think they were living this life I think we all strive to live.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
This freedom I think so many people are afraid to embrace for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so admirable.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I wanted to be their friend.
I know.
I was like, can we please be friends?
And there was also, what was the other one? Oh God, there's so much good stuff. I do want to talk about...
how long is the program? 2 hours?
Yeah, we had about, I think it was 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's like a 10-minute intermission. There was one that I mean, there's so many good ones, but as I'm thinking of it, is it apotheosis?
Oh,
apotheosis.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that.
Right?
With the older woman. And it was like, you didn't even have to really know what the story, like, it could be anything you want it to be. But okay, let me give you the premise. Basically, there's a woman, an older woman. She might be, I don't know, she could be in her 70s, she could be in the 80s. And she has like this little conveyor belt machine. And as she turns it on, these little doll heads come out. Like, and some of the dolls are like fucked up. Some are burnt. Some are like really jacked up looking.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's got like a little clipboard and she's marking off. Like, and she's smiling like, oh, look at them. And then one holistic looking doll, normal looking doll comes through. And she has this frown and she takes it and she crosses off that doll's name. Like, she's naming the dolls and things like that. So it almost felt like...
That's so you.
I might have been having a Talking Tina Twilight Zone flashback.
Exactly.
But I kept thinking to myself, it was like one of those really beautiful... And at the end of it, like, she makes like these photographs of all the messed up looking dolls and she sits and has tea in front of it and she's content. And the idea was kind of like the idea of like we embrace our imperfections. And it's almost like she was like a godlike figure and, you know, humanity was going by and there's no perfections, you know? And a thing that is perfect.
So it's not like an evil thing or something.
No, it was more like, almost like a disappointment. Like you came out like, that's not how I made you. You should be, I don't know. That's my interpretation.
Interesting.
I love that interpretation. It was this weird thing of like, you know, this person, whoever this figure is, loves the imperfections. Like perfection is not the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the striving of something. And the moment she sees that, like, you know, and she's just like, you know, just crosses the name off. And it made me feel good. I don't know why it made me feel good. Because I'm always the one who loves imperfect things, who I love. I like, when you see a lot of Hollywood actresses, and we talked about this last year, when they look too perfect, like they're perfectly bleached teeth, perfect hair, they look too
there's
fake
no
to me.
Character,
there's no real,
there's
no humanity to it.
Mm-hmm.
But those actresses that really move me are the ones that are like, you see the lines, you see, you know, they just like real... real women you see on the street.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I almost felt like that message was like, no, we embrace those imperfections. That's what makes you beautiful. That's what makes you you. Yeah. And by striving for this perfect thing that, and it didn't even, the doll didn't even fit. Like, it had like the hair, it was all pretty dress and stuff. Like, it didn't fit any of the other dolls as she was smiling. Like, some of those dolls are really fucked up looking, you know, but there was a beauty innate. So when you guys saw that come through, what was the feeling of that? Like, why?
First thing I felt was like, I'm so happy to see an older woman on screen.
Yes.
Yes.
I was just like, yes, a story about, you know, a real human being, mm-hmm. like you were saying,
right.
and lines and everything. And it just was a beautiful, all the images were so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I love your interpretation. And I just want to say, I love just sitting and talking about movies. We were talking, I was like, oh my God, give me more. I just like analyzing it, different people's interpretations. Mm-hmm. It's so fun.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I talked to so many people after the festival and they're like, well, this movie and this movie. And they had so many different interpretations than I did.
Yes.
And that is the point.
Right.
Yeah. Well, then you learn so much more about the film and about yourself. I'm like, oh, I can relate to that or I can empathize with that.
Mm.
But Apotheosis, and the filmmaker is an older, she's not a young woman. And I just was so inspiring for me to see these filmmakers of all different ages
mm-hmm.
Making beautiful work, right. stunning work. I was mm-hmm. just blown away. But the movie itself, I felt like was a comment on our memories of like our history and processing that history and acknowledging the different times of our life and aging and that process and the people that affect us along the line,
right.
like this journey.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like she was logging her journey and all the people in it. I don't know, but I love
maybe that one heifer that came out in her life. She's like, I remember Annabelle.
Yeah.
And her,
yeah.
And here she comes.
Yeah.
The one that made me miserable, pressing her off.
Exactly. Well, I actually really love the way you looked at it, too. But yeah, I was so inspired by that film.
Mm-hmm.
And then she took photographs of all of them and then posted them up. So it's also like how you remember things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're always different than when they actually happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, what I loved about all the films, like there was some gentleman who was sitting behind me. So it was interesting in between the shorts when, you know, I'm sitting there leaning back and, you know, the credits will roll through and then you'd hear, like, not to put, you know, gender differences between men and women, how we see things,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes men do see things differently.
Absolutely.
It was interesting to hear them, like, discuss the films they were seeing. And they were like, at one point there was one, oh, which one was it? I think it was, It Shall Come to Us, which is, they use Zap Mama. It Shall Come to Us was like a music video.
Mm-hmm.
That
so
was freaking amazing.
So, yeah. good.
So good.
The choreography, the dancing, and of course it's Zap Mama music. So, you know, I was there. I think there was some Missy Elliott beats in there somewhere.
Yeah, they did.
Yep.
And it was like so good. And just how they framed it, all that stuff is amazing. And then after it's over, they were like, listen to the guys, and they were just like, that's interesting. So I wonder why. Like, there would be like these little pauses.
Oh, how funny.
And then they would be like, so what do you think? What do you think that one was trying to say? And, well, maybe. And after a while, you could hear them kind of loosening up a little bit and start to talk about what they see. Because a lot of times, you know, when men aren't the focal point of a narrative, sometimes men, and I'm probably being stereotypical,
fine.
But I'm going to say 85%. When they are not the center of retention, sometimes they have a hard time grappling or trying to figure out an in mm-hmm. into something.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll look at something like, well, why would a woman put, like, I could see certain things, certain angles, certain shots that some of the filmmakers were making that I knew was an intuitive, intentional thing.
Intuitive.
To get us out of the whole kind of masculine gaze of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And just listening to them interpret back what they thought was just really fascinating. I almost feel like I want to do a survey of the men as they were going out, like, are those who consider the, like, what do you think?
That's so interesting.
Like, what do you think about the films or what films struck you the most? Just to hear what their take on it.
I see who's doing that for you next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, wait,
she's on the street. Yeah.
I'll take a 5-minute survey.
Are you identified male? Something. Okay, can I ask you a question?
That's interesting.
So, the day after Thanksgiving in Scottsdale, in the freaking whitest country in the world, me and my husband went to the movies. with his brother and sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. Why were we sitting there? I'm the only black person in the room, by the way. No, really? Only black person. And we're sitting there. You know, everybody's older.
Right.
And I'm sitting there behind this, must be four or five, you know, people. And they show the trailers to the movies. Why did they show Fences? So they showed all these movies.
Wait, what movie did you guys go to see?
We went to see the one you guys were with.
Arrival.
Arrival. Okay. Forgive me. Went to go see Arrival. And so they were showing all these other, and the last one they showed was Fences. They didn't say shit throughout the entire thing. Finally, the dude behind me says, well, I won't be going to see that shit like that.
Right, right,
country
right.
Ass accent.
Right, right.
And I sat there like this, and I went into this, to that mode.
Right.
And I never even saw what he looked like, but I already saw what he looked like.
Right.
I was like, this old ass 70-year-old fat redneck motherfucker. I was there in my head. Mm-hmm. We got up when the movie was over, and I sat there the whole time. I had to get back into the movie because it took me 10 minutes to get past him. Mm-hmm. And I sat there, and I was like, I get up after the movie, and I just turn and glance, and it was the exact picture of what I knew it was.
Wow.
And I was like, boy, that's scary.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And then I went, he gonna be gone in 5 years.
Yeah.
My man was limping into it. I was like, he ain't gonna be here.
Well, like I said, it's that whole idea of like when you get films that are different, when you've had a narrative, especially in Hollywood, and we're just talking about American films, where the leads have always been white, male, straight, yep. mm-hmm. you know, with some kind of income,
yeah, mm-hmm.
where they're so used to being the end all to be all, right. it is very uncomfortable for them to see anything outside of themselves. Right. So when they see things like, I mean, they might actually like Fences. Fences mm-hmm. coming from a work, like if we're talking about working class right. people, yeah. Yeah. you might actually have more in common with the characters in Fences mm-hmm. who happen to be black people mm-hmm. than you would that. But because you don't want to be part of that world, then guess what? You can just go die and miss sure. out on the good stuff. And I always wonder when I'm sitting there yep. watching the films with Moonphase, how many of these films that have gotten into this festival were probably shunned or got mm-hmm. to other festivals and people said the same exact I'm same sure. thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, sure. what the fuck is this?
Sure.
You know? Like the one, The Coward.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God, that was such a fun one. Oh,
Isn't
my God.
So fun.
It was so, like, oh, God, I was so excited. And it was no, just
you
like
can't
a.
can't not dance too. When, yeah. Like, same like, with It Shall Come to Us.
Yes.
I was in the back, I was like, just like, you can't not move.
Yes. But how must it be for people who aren't open to that?
Yeah,
to see something like that, especially mm-hmm. with you know, with Coward, where you have a woman who's pretty much she's dancing in her underwear mm-hmm. and other things too, and she's like her personality is kind of like the introvert, like I got to go out and face the world, but I really don't want to. And how do
it's
I face this?
Like
world?
Agoraphobic.
Yes, yeah, it's like yeah. agor. It's like a music video of a woman who she kind of doesn't want to be in the outside world. Mm-hmm. You know, she. You know, a couple times she goes up to her front door, opens it, and sees all the hands coming in. She closes the door, and then when she does get outside, and she's got her baggage, the literally mm-hmm. baggage she's carrying up the thing, and other people are going on their way carrying their baggage easily, and she's sitting here like, how do I deal with my shit? Mm. How do we deal with, I mean, what would you say to people who might be scared to come see Moonphase, who are like, oh, that's films that are not for me. They're feminist films, so they're probably not going to be, you know, when clearly... When you see the type of variety that is there, there's something mm-hmm. for everybody there. Sure. For next year's festival, like, how are you going to counter or try to encourage those people who believe in the stereotypes of what a feminist is? Mm-hmm. Like, what are some of the counter narratives to get them to want to come?
Wow.
No, I'm still working on it.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. No, I think my instinct there is like it's a struggle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We just keep putting these films to the forefront, right? Mm-hmm.
And inclusion. Feminism is about inclusion.
Yeah.
It's about everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And everybody has the female in them.
Right.
And so to show films and hopefully have people talk about them, mm-hmm. that will spread the word and be like, well, I never would have sat down and watched a short music video film about, you know, depression and mental illness.
Right.
But at the end of the 5 minutes mm-hmm. that it took me, I was in love with it.
Yes.
And that's another thing about society these days. I feel like people are really scared to invest in any amount of time to mm-hmm. do something. We're so quick. We're a headline society now.
Right, right.
And so it's hard for people to sit down and focus. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're at your computer at night. You're not going to sit down and watch a 12-minute short about you know, so-and-so.
Right.
So that's also the purpose of Moon Phase. It's like, we're here and we're going to do it, and you're going to be much better off after the fact.
Right.
Because you're going to be more attached to it than you ever thought imaginable.
Right. Because I think that's what makes it such a successful film festival to me, is because it is shorts. They range anywhere from 2 minutes long, 5 minutes to 10 minutes long. And it's like going to a tapas bar. Not topless, tapas. T-A-P-A-S.
She said it with an L.
Tapas. Where you can get a little bit of something, you know, and even if it's something that you've never tasted before or been exposed you get a little bit of it, and you can always explore it later. Because I think some of these projects, you can still find them online. Or is one of them, I think, Queer Witch is part of a web series?
Queer Witch is a part of a series of like portraits she does, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But yeah, a lot of them, not a lot, a few of them are...
Or where we can find access to people.
You can find access.
Those
Vimeo,
artists.
There's some Vimeo.
Some of them are online, and some of them are actually parts of web series.
Right. Because I think that's a way for those, you know, to get exposed to, like, seeing more of these artists' things.
Yeah.
You know, and getting them to come out there and check it out. Because I always feel like, you know, I'm always inspired by new work. And as a writer, or if you're an actor, one, it's a way to meet other actors.
That's right.
Two, totally. Other writers. Mm-hmm. Or
filmmakers.
If you see a cinematographer, like, who is that cinematographer? Who shot this?
Yeah. Yep.
And look them up and find that person and maybe connect. You know, I'm just hoping that next year, because there will be a next year's film.
Hell yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yay. You know, we'll be sitting here 25 years from now.
I know.
Prime Star, remember back in 2015? Yeah, I just feel like
that.
I just feel like more. I just want more people to come and check out Moon Phase and to encourage those filmmakers, especially those of us who listen to us in other countries. Submit your stuff. Like, this is a challenge right now. You got a whole year. Yeah, are you going to have it the same time next year, maybe? Or
it's in discussion to change the time, possibly to October.
Okay,
not right in the December.
Okay,
you know, holiday.
Okay.
At least you
chaos.
Were early in December.
Totally. Yeah. I like the early December. We're just kind of throwing it out there, but it will be in the fall or winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because last year, when did we have it last year? Was it?
It was December 5th.
Was it December?
5th.
Was it December?
Year.
So about the same.
Yeah. Okay. About the same.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it's our job now.
More than ever.
More than ever to really, like, to speak to that struggle of, you know, all letting people know this is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Is to really promote it that way throughout the year.
Right.
And keep on making more, you know, promotional videos.
Right.
Like, we made the one called This The Time Is Now.
Right.
About feminism is no longer a dirty word.
Right, right.
And so that kind of stuff, that's what we'll be working on throughout the year, is really just trying to reach that global audience on that level.
Right.
Like, look, let's join hands.
Right.
That circle around the earth,
right.
That image, we are the world.
Right.
Let's bring it back.
Yeah.
And Prem, I forgot to tell you, I was talking to my mom the day after, and she wasn't there, but she was like, you know, next year is going to be so amazing, because considering that all of the submissions were before all of this political shit fuck mess.
You gotta give them a couple months ahead of time.
Yes. And so she's like, can you imagine what the next year's submissions are gonna be
holy shit, your mom is awesome and right.
That's a really good
one. And I just got so excited all of a sudden
because
with all the submissions that we're gonna see.
I mean, and us included, we're so inspired, especially. I mean, that sounds so weird. We were so inspired after this election. I mean, inspired by, I was fueled by my anger and my frustration and
sadness
and depression and grief and all of that. But I was so fueled to make more fucking art that speaks to what Moon Phase is all about.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm so, your mom's right. Like, there's going to be a lot of people making badass shit.
And that's an historical precedent. It's always happened.
Right.
It's like, whenever things have been crappy in the United States, some of the best art comes out.
True.
Because artists are always here to change the world. And they always bring forth. I was thinking about last night. I was watching the on KPBS. They had a documentary about hip-hop.
Oh, yeah.
And it was talking about, you know, the creation of it. And it was talking about how those shitty times in the Reagan years before you know, those really crappy late 70s, 80s. And
it's like punk rock came out of Thatcher and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, over Britain, you know, the UB, all that stuff, you know, coming out of those really dark times and how people use art to express and change things, you know. So on the one hand, even though I was like really mad and upset, like, oh, God, we got Trump, we got all this crazy stuff that's going on. At the same time, that, you know, you're older and wiser now, and you think of all the fucking good music.
Oh my God, films. I was just gonna say 2016 Absolutely. As far as music.
Oh my God,
killing it.
It's mm-hmm. gonna be so good.
And it's gonna be so good even in 2017. Yes. I cannot wait for music Correct. In 2017.
So to that's our global so, audience,
that's
to our
exciting.
Oh, one more thing I wanna say about mm-hmm. what I think is so fantastic about Moonface, especially this year, because it's the article I'm gonna write for Bitch Flix. I'm trying to get done tomorrow so I can post it up as soon Yay. As possible. But I wanna talk about, because it's the art and the activism, because one of the things that I thought was super duper cool on your end was that the Moonface Film Festival, the proceeds are going towards Standing Rock.
Yeah.
So the stuff that's going on in North Dakota and all the native people who are trying to stand and protect their land and keep this potentially awful thing from happening. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to do that? Like, you know, we have our artists that do stuff and like, yeah, they pay lip service.
234 yeah. Cherokee.
You know, they might tweet a couple of things and be like, hey, support that. Mm-hmm. But proceeds of your film festival.
Yeah.
Well, over the holiday.
Thanksgiving,
I was just looking around, I went up to Santa Cruz to see some family. My sister's up there and my sister is, you know, she's getting her PhD in feminist studies at UC
wow,
Santa
you
Cruz.
Going okay, in. That's all so
we got to come to make Thanksgiving dinner. Okay.
When we get together, you know, we're very much we inspire each other on that level. Mm-hmm. And she's my younger sister and blows my mind. And anyways, she's one of my heroes, I guess, heroines. but anyway, we're just talking about this holiday, and I was like, it just struck me. I was like, we have to do this. So I texted Roxanne mm-hmm. and I was like, I love you. Let's do this. What do you think? She was like, oh, fuck yes. Mm. So it just was this. And I knew from the beginning, I was like, I wanted to give to some organization. We wanted to give back, mm-hmm. you know, I was like, and I didn't know what. And it was just, that's when it really struck a chord with mm-hmm. me emotionally.
Right.
It just makes sense.
It just mm-hmm. makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so we were just so excited and proud and
yeah, there was no other option at that point.
Yeah,
we were just no. It means a lot because, like I said, I told our listeners a couple weeks ago when I went to the Indigenous Comic Con, the very first Native Comic Con.
I saw you
yes.
in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, it was my gosh.
You know how amazing it is to be in a space where Native people are being geeks mm-hmm. and they're doing cosplay based Incredible. On their cultures. They're doing their own little people. Who are seeing big people that they could be. They're mm-hmm. meeting comic book artists. You know, I got to see John Redcorn, the guy, the character John Redcorn on, what is it, The King of the Hill, yeah. the actor who plays him. It's like, oh my God, it's a real Native guy who plays a Native guy. Oh, no, you know, I was excited wow. about that. But it was just the comic books and the art, the music, the panels, and the biggest takeaway from that is the idea that Native people are like, you know, we're here, and a lot of time people act like we're dead culture and we're not here and mm-hmm. we're not around and people mm-hmm. don't support us, you know, we don't get the visibility as groups. And it was just so wonderful to see artists who are doing this wonderful feminist film festival to say, hey, we support that. And it's always magic when you have art and activism. So I don't know, next year, is this a precedent you guys are setting, or is it just what do you think? I mean,
yeah, I'm Standing Rock, also, if I can add really quickly, I was motivated by Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. And Ooh. I feel like...
Who is she? Mother Earth. No.
There's no such thing as global warming.
There's no such thing as global warming.
You have to meet her.
According
She's
to
fabulous.
Trump. It doesn't exist.
But I just... Roxanne and I were both like, that is our core mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. everyone this is our life we're talking about mm-hmm. this is it people
right
if we don't have this we have nothing
right there ain't no other planets right yeah. now we so, know of
I was like we got to start here
right
that's just wanted to add that
okay
that motivation mm-hmm. yes water is life
right
And what was the question, though?
Is this a precedent for you? Like, maybe for, like, next year, maybe some different or different group or something, you know, because I love the idea when artists do put activism in. Like, a lot of people say, you know, oh, you shouldn't do that because people might not support you and all that. But I always feel like I said, artists
oh, no.
change the world.
Yep.
And they inspire changes that are to come. I mean, is there something like you guys might want to do, like different, you know, or different organizations that you might want to support?
Absolutely.
There are a million.
But yeah, I think I want...
It's too many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're going to... What I would like to do would be to, from the very beginning, hook up with an organization, mm-hmm. partner ups on some form right. where we could promote each other, and then proceeds would go towards whatever organization okay. we chose. Mm-hmm. Something like that, mm-hmm. you know? But yes, that is definitely, we want to continue being able to.
I just thought that was so cool. Because on your Eventbrite, yeah. like you can put any, like you had like a standard amount, yeah. and then you can add whatever you want, and all the yeah. proceeds would go to that. And that was such a cool thing for people, like not only am I going to an event to see some films, but I'm supporting some people too. So on that note, Roxanne, let me ask you this. What are some things you'd like to see for next year's festival?
Ooh, there is a long list. that's what's so exciting about experiencing it for my first time is mm-hmm. how many things we want to do differently mm-hmm. for the next time. Let's see. The biggest thing I want us to be a nonprofit,
okay,
so that we can mm-hmm. grow and you know have people sponsor us mm-hmm. and be more involved. Because I think when you're not a nonprofit, people yeah. get a little shy right, of being involved. So that's the biggest thing.
And next step.
Mm-hmm. It's the next step. And
it's a big step.
yeah.
And I also want to have it in a theater. Both of us were talking about
ooh,
that.
Okay.
We want to do it in a theater, even though Conduit was such an amazing space.
Right.
I want it to be a little bit more cinematic mm-hmm. For the filmmakers
okay.
because I know how exciting that is to see your film up, you know,
up close and
in a theater. Yeah,
right.
So I think those are the two biggies. Yeah.
Well, just the theater thing we're debating because we don't want to lose that essence of the celebration aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want the cinematic experience too.
Right.
So we're kind of
Hookup at the yeah. Writers Guild or something, or the Directors yeah. Guild? Because I know they had the theater and they had that outside.
Yeah,
stuff.
You have to be in either or.
But could they like if they're a nonprofit to help support? No,
but there are some really cool theaters that are about you know that you could like the Gay and Lesbian Center has. Remember when I did mine at the Renberg?
Oh yeah.
The Renberg Theater. Yeah. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't. But I know
because you guys could all stand on that air and it's got the big screen and the great sound.
Yeah, we wanted.
And LA has such a plethora of amazing theaters that aren't being used. Mm-hmm. Old theaters.
Yeah.
I think that would be an incredible idea.
We want to do panels, which I would love both of you to be a part of.
Yeah.
And if the Q&As with the filmmakers. A lot of filmmakers reached out about that, and so that was something I felt bad about that we didn't do this year, but I really would love to do that because they're the voices we want to hear after the films.
Absolutely.
You know?
Right.
It's so exciting to talk to filmmakers after you see their work.
Definitely.
And they're so excited. Yeah.
Especially if you have somebody there who really could moderate the pit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, because we did it with Architects of Crime just recently. We were in a bunch of festivals and we'd go there and we'd finish and they would line us all up and there would be like some random person who didn't even know how to really ask us questions. And I'm like, why is this person doing?
You need a moderator.
You need somebody to run it. You know what I mean?
When I see those pictures of you on the internet and you had that one look on your face, I'm like, somebody in the ask, and Hilliard's like, why don't I have somebody? When I see your pictures.
I'm like, have you even seen the movies?
It makes it a lot easier if you have someone.
Oh, man. Well, what about you, Priscilla? What are some things you want to see for the next one? Like,
then we'll wrap it up.
Oh, wow. I agree with Roxanne. I want to see more people,
mm-hmm.
More inclusiveness, just keep that flowing. What else? God. I have some ideas for next year as far as other forms Moonphase can get out there, but I'm not too sure about them yet, so mm-hmm. I don't want to put them out there.
Okay.
But, thinking of doing some sort of publication, that's all.
Okay.
Some sort of...
So where can we find Moonphase? Because do you have on your website, can people donate money, or do you have anything that's set up like that?
We're going to.
Okay.
That's in the works, because I realized we can keep donating to Standing Rock after the festival, and we can keep donating. We will need support actually for the festival as well.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things that we're brainstorming on how we can mm-hmm. keep that
momentum going.
Momentum mm-hmm. going.
Well, I just want to say, I mean, I think it's great that you guys are helping the Native American culture. You should continue to do it. You should also find ways. Remember, without your festival, you can't even help them.
Exactly.
So just make sure you
fund the festival.
Find the festival so that you can help them.
Absolutely.
Don't not help them at all, but just make sure you
Yeah.
Can do both.
A lot of people said that to us, which was, it was like a very, I was like, thank you, you know, and you're right. We need to make sure we can do this next year.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
We're like, yay, you know, it's just, but we will. Yeah. And it's, yeah, we're going
to. I mean, you did your part. You donated that amount. That's part. Great. So, but. Now, raise the money to do the next festival.
Exactly. Right.
Because
and
the
make
goal
the decision
is
of where to go to.
Right. You got
to
support.
Right, right.
Yeah, but the whole year round of keep raising money, it's great, but now you're not making any money.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's all
Thank
I'm saying.
You, okay.
That's my producer hat. It's my producer hat.
Got to put that out there.
Hey, I got a lot of Indian blood too, so I'm not about not.
Thank you.
You could have said it about anybody. I would have said the same thing.
So. Yeah, right, right, right.
I totally feel you and I hear you, and you're totally right.
Of course,
we
need
to, of course I am. Yeah, bigger, better, more all-inclusive, more people, mm-hmm. getting the word out to more human beings.
Give us the website so people know they can get more information.
Yeah,
so,
then just
next
go into
year.
Your okay. where you're at and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
All right, so we're at www.moonphasefilms.com/festival. Check out, you'll find everything about last 2015, 2016, and on social networking, we're at @moonphasefemfilm on Instagram and Twitter. On Facebook, it's Moonphase Feminist Film Festival, I'm pretty sure. you'll find us there. All of our social networking is also on the website. And yeah, if you want...
Where can they find you?
Me? You can find me on Instagram at PremstarSantana or www.premstarsantana.com. And what else? What else? What else? Please follow us. Join the Moon Phase magic. The Moon Phase movement.
Yes.
Like I get that fairy dust,
girl. Get that. Get it going.
It is magical.
What about you, Roxanne? Where can we find you?
You can hit me up at Roxanne Morrison, at Roxanne Morrison on Instagram. And through all the Moon Phase handles as well.
You're not on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter.
You're not a Twitter fiend?
Nope. I know. I'm sorry. I heard you earlier. I was like,
I'm a Twitter fiend.
I'm not on Twitter.
She's 24/7.
I tweet to her anyway, but she doesn't respond.
It's like I was looking for Roxanne. I don't see her. Is she real?
Mm-hmm.
So IG.
Exist.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And thank you for being able to have another festival. I love it. I'll be at the next one, as many as you guys have. I'm always excited.
Where are you at?
I am on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You can always find me on Twitter. You can always find me if I'm not busy on Saturdays or on a panel or doing something. I'm always tweeting with the Geek Soul Brother and the whole fam. Hey, fam, all the nerdy, geeky people for Saturday Night Sci-Fi. When Graveyard Shift Sister has her Friday Night Horror, we do that.
Ooh.
When they have the 80s or 90s live tweet with Black Girl Nerd. Shout out to Black Girl Nerds and the Black Girl Nerd family. Shout out to all the people who are out there being geeky and being supportive of one another on Twitter. I see a lot of us out there who are artists, who are making films, who are writing, who are signal boosting each other. And thank you for that, because that's how we connect, make things happen. Make sure you guys do check out Moon Phase. And please come out to the festival next year. You can come hang out with me. If they got the free wine in the back, you can sit in the back next to me. And when the Korean barbecue truck comes through, we'll have our snacks all ready together, sitting back there in the back having fun.
That's a cool thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
I love a theater where you can eat. I can't stand being in a screening and you can't eat while I'm drinking. But if you can...
Like, I have to stop myself from getting up and walking outside to the food truck again.
I can't have no popcorn, I can't have red vines, nothing in here. Why am I screening here?
That is actually the worst, I agree.
That's how you enjoy it.
You're talking, you get loose, and you're like, hey, who's that person? You get comfortable.
Can I do a quick shout out?
Yes.
Okay, real quick.
Time's up.
And scene.
Real quick, and bye. Yeah, and scene. No, I just want to say... Thank you to all the filmmakers this year.
Yes. Sure.
You are brilliant. You are inspiring. I am so grateful. Roxanne and I both felt like mothers to your films.
Definitely.
We were like, these are our babies. We cherish your work. Again,
we were so proud of you and
so
to represent
proud.
You. And you guys are what made Moon Phase what it was.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%. And to everyone, all of our sponsors this year, to the team who came out to volunteer your time and energy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And to Lisa and Hilliard, I love you guys. You made me want to cry, Lisa, hearing you talk about Moonface.
I'm excited about it.
I'm just like, your words are so inspiring, and you as a human being are so inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm just I'm honored to be here.
I'm always for Hillier the grassroots. I'm always for the grassroots, and I'm always for people who, because like you said, you never know who's in that audience watching. You never know who the next artist that you're cultivating from doing something different. So I always feel like you're planting seeds, and my job is just to go out there and make sure nothing comes through the garden and stomps on it. That's my job.
She's security.
Okay, I'm security. Make sure nobody stomps on it. And I want it to see it grow bigger and better. And
thank you.
I want to say, hey, Catherine Candy, Catherine, January Ham, if you're ever in the United States and in L.A., you got to come on the show. We got to talk about that short.
Yes.
You know, congratulations.
Send it to us.
Yes,
let me see it. I want to see it.
You know, and all of you filmmakers who submitted to it, bravo for one, being brave enough to share your work. And for a lot of those actors, I think a lot of them were like in their own projects and writing their own stuff and just, you know, being open to sharing it with a bunch of queer crazy people who are having fun watching it. So those of you who are thinking about doing a short, consider submitting it to Moonface. All you got to do is have a female lead. You can be a guy, a girl, trans. You can be anything you want to be. Just have it be female centered. Have it be good, and I'll be sitting there with my Korean barbecue.
As she said for the 20th time.
I'll let y'all know.
That's slang in Korea.
Okay.
We'll give props to that.
That's slang in Korea.
It's going to be a Moonface tradition.
Korean barbecue should be giving us donations.
Okay, look. That's going to be a Moonface tradition for me. Korean barbecue.
Exactly.
Sitting in the back.
Oh, and it's MoonFaze.
That's
just want to, you know.
Yes.
Because, you know, people are going to be misspelling it like in my
They're going to be like, P-H-A-S-E.
Yeah, exactly.
Phase.
Yeah.
MoonFaze. Moonface.
But her story phase.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Hillier. Did you say where you were yet?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She ain't on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter.
Yes. She has self-control.
I do not exist in the Twitter stratosphere.
Okay. You know, Instagram or nothing?
Yeah, Instagram. Roxanne Morrison.
Did you say that?
Yes.
Did I miss that?
Yeah, look at you.
You're thinking about Korean barbecue over
I'm
there.
I'm tired. I need some food.
You got that Tulsa. You got some, because as soon as you're done here, you got to be back on that Tulsa script. Yeah.
Thank you for having us, Hillier.
No problem. We appreciate you guys. Follow us. You can follow me on Twitter.
Where?
At Hilliard Guest.
Yes.
You guys can follow the show, Screenwriters RR, on Twitter. Any questions, screenwritersrentroom@gmail.com. Please follow us on Facebook. Oh, I keep forgetting that. Hilliard Guest at Screenwriters Rent Room. and shit like that. So before I go out, I got to do this little something for Roxanne over there.
Yes.
Little Roxanne over there. Yo, can't go. I don't think that you dance, but you went about the matter with no experience. I was going for you. So anyway, y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room.
That's the cut.
Join in with us, y'all. On this show, we keep it real. Mm-hmm. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what, everybody?
2016.
About to be 17.
About to be 17.
God, 17.
Peace, y'all.
Ciao.
There gotta be a dope-ass story on the page. Let the beast about the cage, that light about the dark. Can you build the inferno from an itty-bitty spark? Coffee shop hustlers, rise with the cream. A million other writers, same Hollywood dream. Your pen and paper, all like bullets in the gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. In the red room, we say what we say, we do what we feel. We gotta keep it. Grab a screenwriting, fill my bottle up with lightning, up in the red room.
So look, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get in.